M is for Mason.
G is for Graham.
B for Thatcher.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG-rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages.
My name is Graham Bagshaw, and my co-host and creator of this podcast is proof that wrestling fans live with their parents, my 10-year-old son, Mason. All right, Mason, we made it to a dozen episodes. Now, I actually heard on the Sugar Dunkerton podcast, if you can make it to 13 episodes, you've made it. Now, I don't quite know how he comes up with that number. I guess if you get to a certain point and it's not working, you just stop or whatever. So we got to get through this episode. If we can make one more, then I think we're going to be okay. All right, do you want to talk to us about your week?
So today I just had an SOL. I'm usually pretty quick in doing my SOLs, and the thing with me that I hate about myself with finishing quick in my SOLs, I do worse the longer I take my SOL. Like, I do worse, like, more.
All right, the teacher here is rolling his eyes, because that's definitely not true. That's always an excuse students give. You want to tell us what subject this was first?
It was Virginia Studies. Oh, and okay. So I try to pace myself. And then after I'm done, like, it's just something about me. I can't read. I can't take a nap. I can't do anything. Like,
I thought you took a book last week.
Yeah, I take books. I just can't read them. For some reason, I read, like, one page and I get super bored. And then when I try to fall asleep, the light's too bright. Or when I try to bury my face inside my jacket, I still can't sleep.
Well, I could tell you a reverse story because my class had their first SOL today. I got two next week, and they had no trouble sleeping. I had one kid I had to wake up about 10 times. But anyway, perhaps when you get to a teenager, you won't have that problem anymore. All right, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod, and you can follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. Also, listen to the other podcasts on the Visionaries Wrestling Network, Ringside Rant on Monday, Caden Nation on Tuesday, the new podcast, Upstate Unplugged, on Wednesday. They'll have episode 2 coming out next week. And View from the Top Rope on Thursday.
Let's take a look at the card for episode 12 of the MGB Wrestling Pod. In match 1, This Week in Wrestling News. In match 2, a review of Backlash. In match 3, Are You Smarter Than a Fourth Grader? In match 4, a review of Monday Night Raw. In match 5, Tweet of the Week. In match 6, a review of SmackDown Live and Match 7 podcast.
So, in match 1, scheduled for...
1-4!
This week in wrestling news. Now, speculation from Dave Meltzer that there may be a third Money in the Bank match. One for the men, one for the women, and then there's talk about there might be one for the tag teams. Now, I actually heard this from Matt Attack. He shared this with me, and I also saw it on Twitter when I came home as well. He asked me what I thought. I actually really liked the idea, and I was hoping it was going to be a segment we could talk about, but all right, Mason, what do you think about it?
I really don't like it. Like, it's the tag teams. Like, you see a whole bunch of matches with them and ladder matches. It's, like, a no different. It's just you have 16 people and, like, 8 people are working with the other 8 people. And
well, you don't have to have that many in that actual Money in the Bank match. You could just have 3 tag teams in that, but then somebody has the Money in the Bank and they can cash it in at any point.
But the thing I would like better is mixed match Money in the Bank. That would be cool.
But they don't even have a division for that right now. They just did the Facebook challenge, so they already did that.
But still, that would be really cool.
Okay, well, I thought it was... And I'm surprised. I think we've switched roles this week. Normally, I'm the one that's the negative one, and you're the positive one. And I think... I don't know what happened, but we seem to have switched this week. I thought it was a really cool idea, actually. I like that dynamic of... And particularly for the singles, when somebody was rushing in. I'm thinking Carmella. Whenever she saw that opportunity, she would, like, sprint into the ring. I don't know how it would work with tag teams. Because there's actually 2 people there. You've got to run in as a pair... And not only is one person taken out, you got to make sure the other person's knocked out as well. Or you got to send your tag team partner, hey, look, you got to get him while I pin the other guy in the middle. I don't know. I think the dynamic could be kind of interesting to see how it would play out.
The Money in the Bank.
No, I'm talking about after they've won it. I'm talking about after they've won it. I think that part would be totally different. That's why I'm excited about it. I'm not exactly necessarily excited about the match that leads to the Money in the Bank. But I think once you hold the Money in the Bank, I think that would be really interesting, because you always only have to worry about one person. When is that second person there? I don't know. I think that opens up a lot more possibilities.
I think you should just have 2 Money in the Banks, and then each of them could go for their chosen title.
What do you mean?
Like, like, say the Usos won it, Jimmy could go for the United States, and the other one could go for, like, the Universal if they wanted.
All right, so you're going to split the Usos up right now. All right, I'm going to be the negative one on this one.
No, you could each give them their title.
Okay. I don't want the tag team splitting up, but anyway, I thought it was something interesting.
You don't split them up, you just give them each their own money in the bank instead of you both having one, and then you have to face another tag team for that.
I think you've misunderstood how this idea was going to work, but that's not the proposal. Now, I know they did something like that on Impact, and I think I want to address this now. We did say originally we were going to talk about Impact, and it was always our intention to do that. And unfortunately, I guess probably because of deadlines, and once we moved over to the Visionaries Wrestling Network, we used to release on random days. Yeah. We released on a Wednesday, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've released all over the place. Now we've got our set day on Friday. It's very difficult for us to record and get all that stuff out in time. We don't get it live because we have to watch it, the highlights on Hulu. So that's Thursday, it's recorded, and then we wouldn't get to see it till Friday, and we have our deadline on Friday. So that's the reason we haven't really talked about Impact. We do watch it, but if we were to talk about it on the show, it's going to be another week has passed and another episode has been released since that. So that's the reason we've stopped talking about that. But yeah, they did have those titles on there, and Eli Drake actually did have two titles. He had the for the main championship, and I think he also had for the tag team championship as well. So
with Scott Steiner?
Correct, yeah.
You could see his age. He's like...
Well, he's 55.
I know. Like, he's like Ric Flair wrestling. He's like, they're super old. Like, I feel it looks so bad to me when somebody kicks him in the head or something. Like, you're kicking a 55-year-old WWE superstar in the head.
No, I didn't ask you this. Have you been listening to Two-Face Pod recently?
No.
Paul hates Scott Steiner.
Yeah, I heard that, but...
I wonder if this was factored into your decision at all.
So he really likes when Scott Steiner's really, he's really old and when he gets kicked in the head. He's probably putting him in the tag team like Ronda Rousey. Like, he's really old, and he's like, on his downfall, so they're, like, resting him and all that stuff. Like, Ronda Rousey, she's getting new to that stuff, and she's kind of resting
now,
her,
the so cool, like, thing about this was... once you started collecting autographs, when we started going to the independent ones, I saw that there was an offer on for Impact ones, and there was a certain group, there's like 20 different wrestlers, and they wouldn't guarantee it, but you could say, look, I really like this one, can you do it? And I said some of the big names, and then I got them, and you were like, who's Scott Steiner? So now that's kind of cool that you do have Scott Steiner's autograph. And he looks exactly the same. And that was the other one. We got Jeff Jarrett, who I knew was a bit, and then he got announced for the Hall of Fame. So we've done pretty good out of those ones. I'm trying to remember which other ones.
And then Paul Ebner, El Hijo de Fantasma, and Drago.
That was probably about it. I know we got some ones later because we wanted some of the bigger names. Like when we saw Eli Drake, we didn't get a chance to get his autograph. I got that one.
We got
for
Eli,
us.
Petey.
We got Petey Williams because we like his podcast as well. And we do like that Canadian
destroyer. Yeah, we got Laurel Van Ness.
We did, yeah. And we're actually going to see Chelsea Green next month as well in the Commonwealth Cup.
And then we got
Crown.
A few more from that.
We did. I'm trying to remember. Matt Sydal was one.
Yeah, Matt Sydal.
And I'm feeling we're missing one big name as well.
Yeah.
And I just can't. Bring it to mind right now.
I had
a t-shirt for that one, but anyway. Alright, match two. This is we normally say our top three moments. I think we're going to go with our three talking points from Backlash. I don't think either of us were particularly impressed with this event. This is the worst pay-per-view I think that we've seen in the 2 years we've been watching. But...
So, I wasn't impressed with Backlash that much.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't impressed with Raw that much, and I really wasn't that impressed about SmackDown either.
And I did put, I said, I hope SmackDown's good this week, because this could be the most negative episode anyway. I still think we have things to talk about, but overall I wasn't impressed particularly. But go ahead, give us your number three moment.
So, number three moment is the Bobby and Strowman match. Versus KO and Sammy.
Uh-huh.
Sammy pushes Kevin Owens into the ring with Bobby and Braun, and they beat him up. He rolls out the ring, and then he pushes Sammy in there, and then he gets beat up, and then they just come back together and walk away.
And I don't really remember much about that match at all. I'm drawing a blank about it now. I know we wrote these down a few days ago. I don't remember much about that at all. I remember them getting destroyed, and we had the signature moves, but I wasn't that excited by that match. All right, next one.
Number two is double low blow AJ and Nakamura. They both go for the jewels.
Uh-huh.
They each kick each other, and they can't get up by 10.
No, and it was a no disqualification match, so that was why it was allowed this time, because all the other ones the referees haven't seen. I'm just getting tired of this. It's just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
It seems really childish to me.
Number one, which I really liked. The ref stands behind Samoa Joe when Samoa Joe gets Roman Reigns in the Coquina Clutch. Roman taps. The camera can see that loud and clear.
Yep.
And the ref doesn't see it. And then Samoa Joe releases it thinking, like, I won. He tapped.
Yep.
And then the match went on, and eventually Roman wins. So
it did. And I think you're missing one important thing. How did you notice that that actually happened? Do you remember?
You.
Now, I missed it as well,
Noticed the foot on the apron.
And once again, I got this from Twitter as well. I don't know if I wasn't concentrating fully on that match, but I missed that point. I often do other things. I'm often on the computer at the same time. And I missed that. And I saw that on Twitter, and somebody pointed it out. And it was very clear. He definitely tapped. And I had that as one of my moments as well. I had that as my number two moment. And once again, Roman just got booed again. He just can't, whatever he does now, he can't win. Now, I didn't actually tell you this part. I also saw online, when he did his promo on Monday Night Raw, he didn't actually do it in the crowd. Because before he was out in the ring, and it was like, boo, after the Greatest Royal Rumble. And this time they did all the promos backstage. And Vince specifically said he wanted to do that, so the crowd didn't boo him. So, yeah, Roman Reigns not having a great time right now. That was my number two moment as well, the tap thing. My number one moment was Nia Jax. She beat Alexa Bliss. And then she did the little promo at the end there in the ring, the proof that bullies don't win, and blah, blah, blah. And I understand they're trying to get a positive message across. It just doesn't seem very realistic when it's Nia Jax who's... And this is going to sound probably... This is probably going to lead into what they're talking about. She's got to be at least twice as big as Alexa Bliss. And I know there's a size issue that they're talking about. The thing that surprised me is Roman's getting such a hard time. And I know you love Roman. And I don't mind Roman either. And you just can't win. The crowd were really into Nia Jax. And they were cheering her. And it was like, oh yeah, you're so right. Bullies don't win. I wasn't buying into any of that stuff either. And I was really surprised that it was so... To me, it seemed so lame. It was so fake. And, the crowd are into that. But Roman, no matter what he does, he can't win on that.
Yeah. Like, some of the things I don't get into, like, I'm still rooting for Alexa Bliss to beat Nia Jax, though.
I still want Alexa Bliss to win as well.
And about the Rusev Day thing, I still don't really Rusev.
Nope, me neither.
I don't know what the crowd is about. And the New Day. We hate the New Day. And the crowd love the New Day.
Yep, well, that's it. There's always something for everybody in wrestling, but right now, that's certainly not for us. And my number one moment, and I'll talk about what it is, and I'll say what you said afterwards. My number one moment was about Elias. Now, Elias got his song interrupted by a lot of those people you just mentioned.
Yeah.
New Day came out, Rusev came out, No Way Jose came out, I believe. And in the end, actually, Bobby Roode came out and, took Elias out, gave him the glorious DDT. So my number one moment was, because I like Elias, I really do, Elias sings on the Bite Glass post show without interruption, and the exact words of the song. But basically, it was about New Jersey there being a smell, and living there is a living, and I'm going to say heck, because we're trying to avoid that word if we can. And at the end, he said, oh, you guys are really blessed to be in my presence. And then as the interview was ending, his phone went off. So he's silencing everybody. Apparently it was Bruce Springsteen calling him. All right, I'm not going to believe that one either. I love Elias.
I wonder if that's true, though.
I wonder
if he actually taught him to play his guitar.
He said he taught himself, so I don't think so. But no, that shows you what our opinions are on Backlash, if my number one moment was actually from the post show. And we don't normally watch the post show, but we were so unimpressed with Backlash itself. But I needed another moment, so I'm gonna look to see if there's anything better on the post show. I was joking with you. I said I should pick all three moments from the post show, and you said, "Oh, I want to do that." I was like, "You're not doing that." And I didn't want you to steal my thunder on my number one moment anyway. Now that's my top three. They don't do a countdown for this one, with it being a pay-per-view. They only do that for the Raw and SmackDown, so we can't compare. I have one question that arises from this, and I asked this the other week, and I still don't know the answer. Bobby Roode, is he a heel, or is he a face? They did that switch when he suddenly turned into a heel, and then once again, now he seems to be a face. He took out Elias, but it was like a positive move, and then he's dancing there with No Way Jose. He's in the conga line. Oh, I'm getting such mixed messages. Any idea what Bobby Roode is right now?
Heel and a face combined.
He seems more face, though, but I'm just wondering, is he going to switch again? I don't like that. I want to know, what is he?
He's like Elias. He looks like a heel, but he's a face.
I think he is a heel. I think he's just so over with the crowd right now, though.
Yeah,
because like, he tells them, he's like, he wants them to say walk with Elias, he wants them to do all that stuff, and he tells them to shut their mouth and put their phones on silent and do all that stuff.
And then their state or county or whatever sucks. And like all, like he said, New Jersey sucks and all that stuff.
When he said New Jersey smells.
Yeah.
He said Long Island sucks.
It is true because there's a lot of factories though.
There is, yeah.
He's not really lying.
It comes from somewhere. All right, in match three, are you smarter than a fourth grader? So I think this is the role reversal for this one. So Mason, you asked if you could write me a quiz. So I said, sure, because I'm really busy this week. So go ahead. Go and tell me what your quiz is about.
So
I'll see how I can do.
My quiz is I'm going to give you the husband or the boyfriend, and then you have to try to guess the wife or the girlfriend.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I assume that they're both people in the...
they're both wrestlers that you should know.
Okay, otherwise this would be very tough. I just wonder if you made it as tough as Matt Attack's quiz. All right, go ahead.
Daniel Bryan's wife.
Well, that's Brie Bella.
Yes.
Because I watched Divas, so I know that one.
So number two is Triple H's wife.
That would be Stephanie McMahon.
Johnny Gargano's wife.
Oh, and I haven't been watching this long enough to remember her name, and I follow her on Twitter as well. Oh, goodness. Yeah, if it was multiple choice, I think I could pick it out. Her first name's really short. It's like five letters. I'm going to say it's Daisy. It's something short, I think. I don't remember.
Candice LeRae.
Oh, I wasn't even close then. Yeah, if it was multiple choice, I could have picked that out. Yep.
Jimmy Uso's wife.
Now, I'm obviously a little behind on Divas. I thought they were still boyfriend and girlfriend, and I mentioned that the other week, so I guess they are married now. Then.
I looked it up on the computer, and it said that they were husband
and wife. And I saw somebody talk about that on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I think you're wrong. And I just never even realized I'm a few seasons behind on that show. It's Naomi, and I think her real name is Trinity.
Yes, it is Naomi. So, Kurt Angle, one of his girlfriends.
Oh, goodness gracious. And I know it used to be Jeff Jarrett's former wife as well, because there was a bit of controversy over that. Because when Jeff Jarrett came back for his Hall of Fame inductions, and now it's Kurt Angle's wife. And I don't know who it is, though. I know that
they're
connected. There is
two answers, but I'll give you if you get one.
Oh, goodness. I don't. I have no idea. I know that all I've heard of him is talked about in that connection. I don't know who it is, so I can't even guess on that one.
I got China and Stephanie.
Oh, China?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that at all. I don't know who the Stephanie is then either.
Stephanie McMahon?
He's not married to Stephanie McMahon.
No, girlfriend.
Oh, I thought you were talking about current girlfriend. Oh, anytime?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I would have known that one. Yeah. Because he kissed her and it was a whole battle on that one. Well, you didn't make that one clear. I don't know who his current wife. Okay, so that's nothing to do with... Well, he's married to somebody who Jeff Jarrett was married to. But all right, anyway, I didn't get that one. All right.
John Cena's girlfriend.
Well, not anymore, but yeah, well, that would have been Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely engaged to her. Yep.
Number seven.
One you don't know
yourself. Undertaker.
Oh, and we read her tweet out as well.
Undertaker's wife.
I'm not 100% sure, but it's something. Is it Kelly or something?
No,
it's not her. Oh, goodness. Oh.
She wasn't the women's world level.
Yeah, and that's why I went with Kelly, because I was trying to remember a name of somebody I don't really know, but I can't remember.
Michelle McCool.
Michelle, okay, yeah. I should have got that one.
Big Cass's girlfriend.
Well, once again, it's not anymore, but I'm assuming you're talking about Carmella.
Yes.
And Carmella was on Lillian Garcia's podcast recently as well. I don't know if you listened to that one yet.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually talked about the fact that they're not together anymore. But it's they were together for certainly at least 3 years.
Dean Ambrose's wife.
That's Renee Young.
Yes. So, the extra credit. Who was Lita cheating on?
Oh, gosh. And I got to make sure I don't get them mixed up. She was cheating on Matt Hardy with Edge.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that one. Now, as luck would have... Oh, is that it? Is
yeah.
That the now, as luck would have it, when I was looking through different things on Twitter this week, I actually came across two, and I was like, oh, I'm going to memorize these, because if he picks these, I'm going to get them. Mandy Rose has got engaged.
Oh, who?
Yeah, I can't
is
remember.
Is it a wrestler?
Now. Yeah, yeah. Oh. I think it's the guy from Heavy Machinery. And I was trying to remember. His name begins with... It's RR as his initials. So I was trying to remember that one. And there was one other one who's got, and I always get Absolution and that other, you know, the groups
Ruby
that are basically.
Riot,
yeah, the Riot Squad. And there's one of those, it's one of the blonde ones, but I can't remember which one
it is. Is it Liv Morgan or Mandy Rose?
I don't remember.
Liv Morgan's the one with the cap.
Well, I already said Mandy
cap.
Rose then, so perhaps it wasn't Mandy Rose then.
Yeah.
Who? Oh, I might have got them mixed up. I think Mandy Rose is one of them. I said the wrong person. It's Sarah Logan. Sarah Logan, I think, is married to the guy from Heavy Machine. Oh, she's engaged to the guy from Heavy Machine.
Oh.
But then, yeah, so there were those two that came up, and I was trying to remember them. Of course, you didn't pick those two. And even if you did, I can't remember them now anyway, so I failed miserably on this one.
Well, at least you got 8 points.
8 points?
I gave you 2 points each for the extra credit.
Oh, okay. I think I probably needed that one. All right, well, I'm sure you can tweet in, but I've got a pretty good feeling that everyone's going to beat me on this week, because I should have got Michelle McCool. And, yeah, anyway, never mind. And I probably should have, the Johnny Gargano, if I'd been watching NXT for a little bit longer, I would have got that one as well. But no, that was a perfect question. It's a name I've definitely heard of. All right, in match four, we're going to Raw. Go ahead, give me your third moment.
So, number three moment, Finn wins Money in the Bank qualifying match with Jinder's help.
Yeah, he did. I'm not quite sure why Jinder came out for that one. You had your own theory for that one. But yeah, he's basically interfered with Roman Reigns, right?
Yeah.
He stopped him from, looked like he was going to win. So what was your theory on this one?
Like, he's mad that he's not in the qualifying match, even though he won.
Uh-huh.
And he comes back in, he's super mad, and so he just helps somebody else get in, so maybe they can win, and then he'll have a match to, fight them.
With Roman Reigns?
No, yeah. I wonder which way they're going to go with that. Is Braun going to win so he can destroy Brock Lesnar, or is Roman going to win so he can have a rematch with Brock?
There's a few different ways that this could go right now. Yeah, I'm not quite sure on this one. Now, the thing that surprises me is the fact that it was Jinder, not somebody else. Because as far as I can remember, Jinder came in week one when he moved into Raw, immediately got beat by Jeff Hardy, lost his title. I don't remember who he fought in week two, but I'm pretty sure he lost again straight away.
Chad Gable.
Oh, okay, his partner, okay. And Chad Gable won that one. And I know he's beat Chad Gable since. But they came across the Raw and immediately starts losing. And then his first thing is, oh, I'm going to go for Roman Reigns. I don't know. The story there is a little convoluted for my liking. All right, second moment.
Second moment is Ember Moon wins Money in the Bank qualifying match with an Eclipse.
She did. And, it was one of those. I'm trying to remember who exactly she was with. I know Sasha was one of them. We really should write this stuff down, right? Was it Ruby Riot? I think it was Ruby Riot. It was Ruby Riot.
Yeah,
Sasha,
Bailey came out. Yeah.
She did. And the thing, and I have that actually as my number one moment. And I didn't think Ember Moon was going to win it. But it was that Sasha and Bailey thing. Will they? Won't they? Is she going to help? Because the Riot Squad started interfering. And then you're like, are they going to come and help? And Bailey did come help, but it didn't make any difference because she got beat down. I'm still not sure what's going on with them. Are they helping each other? Another question, like Bobby Roode, are they, well, not heels and faces, are they friends? Are they not friends? I don't know what's going on with that story. It's the slowest burner ever.
And if I had the money in the bank, and it says you can do it anywhere, anytime,
uh-huh.
I would just go while they're sleeping, pin them, 1, 2, 3.
I don't think you can do it anywhere. I thought he had to be in a match. I don't think he's like the hardcore rule.
Well, it's a match. Bring a ref, ding, 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 1, 2, 3 while they're sleeping.
I guess so.
Wake up, take the championship.
I didn't think you could do that. Now, the old hardcore title, which I know you haven't seen, they used to be. It used to be 24 hours anywhere, and they would always get attacked backstage and things like that.
I think somebody on the Mexican beach, and then they threw the money in the bank. No. They were on the Mexican beach. Somebody took, the champion took the money in the bank and threw it in the beach so he couldn't cash it in.
I think I remember seeing something like that as well. All right, what was your number one moment?
Number one moment is Mojo, he's interrupted. No, Seth, he has an open challenge. Mojo answers, and he said, it's not Monday Night Rollins, it's Monday Night Raleigh.
And that was your number one moment. And it was kind of clever that they got two of them now who got the Raw thing in their
name.
I
said that when he came out, Monday Night Raleigh.
Okay, I don't remember that, but alright, I'll go with you on that one, because we watched it at separate times, actually, and I wasn't concentrating the second time. But yeah, overall, I don't think you were impressed with this one, were you?
Nope, not really.
No, we weren't that impressed with Backlash, and we were hoping for something better on this, and I don't think we were. Alright, now, my top three moments was, my number three one was the glorious DDT to Elias, and then Elias loses. My number two one was, now I did actually like this moment. The zigzag and the claymore at the same time by Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And I put next to this combo moves. There's a few people that do that now, because also Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy do that together as well. They combine for, and I don't remember what it was, I think it was a Twist of Fate with Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
So there's a few that do it together. Ooh. But I, all right, the top 10, Rude defeats Elias. Number 9, special version of Sister Abigail from Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, which is what I just talked about a second ago. Number 8, End of Days by Baron Corbin on No Way Jose. Number 7, Jinder Mahal beats Chad Gable. So he managed to even that up from earlier. 6, The Zigzag and the Claymore by Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. That's the one I just picked. Number 5, a coup de grace outside the ring on Roman Reigns. That was tempting a little bit, but I've seen that a few times now. Number 4, Seth Rollins defeats, I put The Miz to retain the ICC. I don't think that's right. It was Mojo Rawley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that one. I must have copied that down wrong by accident.
That was the week before.
Yeah. Number 3, Ember Moon with an eclipse to beat Ruby Riott and Sasha. Number 2, a running power bomb. Sorry, a running power slam to defeat KO. And the number 1 moment was, of course, Jinder interferes in the match to stop Roman Reigns, allowing Finn Balor to beat Sami Zayn and advance to the Money in the Bank. Okay, match 5. This is the tweet of the week. So this week I went for At Wrestling Soup, and they quoted, "Just in case anyone missed it, Backlash was an absolute success, according to WWE. More buzz than anything else on television today. Pay no attention to the," and I'm going to cut a word out here, "no attention to the smarks that say otherwise, hashtag WWE Backlash." Now, the quote they actually got here with the tweet was from the Nielsen Social Guide. They're the people who produce the rankings for the television. And he said, "Last night, Backlash was the most social show on all of TV. It beat American Idol on ABC, Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, the NBA playoffs on TNT, and Stanley Cup playoffs on NBCSN, and Westworld on HBO." I was kind of surprised by that.
It was actually trash, though. I really did not like it.
I didn't like it either, and I think it'd be interesting to see what happens on the next pay-per-view on the basis of this. I've heard a lot of people saying that they're going to get rid of the network on the basis of this. They're not going to keep paying the $10 because it was so bad. Now, that was the tweet of the week. The follow-up that I saw later was Aaron Ritt reported from showbuzzdaily.com that Raw on Monday night had, the previous week, had 3.1 million people. This week, it only had 2.7 million people. That's a big drop. 400,000 people. Mm-hmm. Now, as I'm the mathematician, I'm going to tell you that's over a 10% drop in 1 week. So that might be the thing. While people are watching Backlash, they're just going to watch Backlash. But then they're not going to necessarily go, "Well, I don't really care what happens on Monday." So I'm going to be interested on that. Now, I tried to find some of the other rankings so I could see. I had real difficulty trying to pull up those figures. I did see somewhere it said that's the lowest Raw since November 2017. So I think it obviously did have an effect, but we're going to see how that follows in previous week. Whereas it seems like Impact, which we've been not talking about, it seems like that's on the rise. There's a lot of people who have been impressed with that product recently, and that definitely seems to be doing a lot better. And they did have a good pay-per-view recently.
Yeah.
That one did have a good review. All right, our sixth match, SmackDown from Baltimore, Maryland. Now, we would have probably gone to this one, Mason, but I had a really busy week this week. I had 4 classes all day. I didn't have any planning periods. And unfortunately, my class were getting ready. It was their last lesson I could stay after school with to help remediate for that exam. So I wasn't done until 4 o'clock. I knew I couldn't pick you up and get to Baltimore at that time. For people that don't know, traffic in Washington, D.C. area is just horrendous in the evening. It takes hours to get anywhere. Baltimore, on a quiet day, we can get there in 75 minutes. So we didn't fortunately get to go that one. However, it looks like I'm glad, because it looks like I saved my money on this one. Also, I'm glad to hear as well, because it looked like I might be doing this solo. Mason got his video back. I know there was a few people who were concerned, so he did get to review it. So he watched it. So, all right, Mason, having watched it all, let's go straight into your top 3 moments then. Let's hear, because the other ones were so bad, let's hear our great SmackDown comparison.
Two
moments. Oh, well, that's improved. That's doubled since when I asked you last time, because you only had 1. So, all right, give me your second moment then, I guess.
So, Daniel Bryan loses, and then the fans are chanting, "Daniel Bryan."
Uh-huh.
Like, as soon as he comes out, he does the yes. Everybody in the arena is chanting yes.
Yep.
You rarely see that nowadays.
He's so over. And the thing that I'm most disappointed about not going to this match is actually to see Daniel Bryan. I don't know how long he's going to be wrestling for. There is talk that he might leave WWE. If he gets injured again, he's definitely probably not coming back. I don't know how many chances we're going to get to see Daniel Bryan. And yeah, I really like Daniel Bryan. I like his whole gimmick.
I love the yes.
I love all that stuff. I would be totally into that. My fingers would be pointing up to the sky. So yeah, I was disappointed that we didn't get to go for that reason. All right, number 1 moment from you.
So Jeff Hardy, he does a Swanton Bomb onto the Miz. He pins him. Miz kicks out, and then he rolls over and then wins that match.
Yeah, he just reversed it, and I actually had that as well. I was gonna have that as my one, and I switched it at the last minute. I went two with that one. So yeah, he reversed the pin, and I think if I remember, I think that was the third Swanton Bomb. So there was like quite a few in that one. That was a really good match. I was tempted to do like I did the other week and say I want the whole match, and I was like, nah, I'm gonna sing. And the reason I picked that specific moment is I didn't see that coming. Normally when he lands that, and he landed that Swanton Bomb absolutely perfectly. I've never seen anyone reverse it like that. I thought that was really cool. I really like that one. All right, my third moment was, and as much as I hate the New Day, perhaps because the New Day came out of this badly, Xavier Woods. It looked like he was going to finish off Cesaro. Jumps off from the middle of the ropes down, and he got an uppercut from Cesaro, and yeah, just took him straight out. So I thought they timed that one pretty good as well.
It looked soft.
I disagree. I did not think it looked soft.
It looked as.
And I thought that. Not heard that one in a while. I thought it looked perfect, and I've watched the highlights a few times, and I actually thought it looked kind of impressive. But so we'll disagree on that one. But perhaps I just liked it more because it was Xavier Woods getting hit, and we don't like the New Day, as we said. All right, you already heard my number two moment. My number one moment was actually Mandy Rose beating Becky. Now, when I actually liked that match, and you're pulling the face right now, and I was like afterwards, I was like, should I really put this ahead of the Miz, having said how much I like that? And I was like, is it just me? And then I heard as we're getting ready to release, I heard somebody say that match is terrible, and I was like, oh. Did I just totally misjudge that match? Anyway, I watched it again with you, and I was like, I don't think I did get that wrong. I thought that was a pretty good match. Anyway, I also saw WWE mentioned on Twitter as well, what are your reactions to Mandy Rose's singles match? I'm going to read you the first few, and we'll see what the Twitter universe thinks. How did hashtag God's Greatest Creation at WWE Mandy Rose fare in her first singles match on SD Live against the Irish Last Kicker? So this is WWE's tweet. So apparently God's Greatest Creation was a line from, I think it's Corey Graves, and that upset a lot of people as well straight away. All right, here's the first three responses. This match was pure garbage. Becky deserves better than this. Now, I would agree Becky deserves better than this. I think Becky Lynch definitely deserves a push, but I disagree with the pure garbage. Next one. Becky is one of the best female in your roster, and you're ruining her talent by making her lose like that. Okay, but they're not focused on Mandy Rose again. And that, it was like that for like the first 10 tweets. And I was like, I think I got this wrong. I probably need to reverse this. And then I read the next few. She's impressive. We all know she's a hashtag future women's champion. She did really well. She held her own against a champion caliber opponent all by herself. And see big things ahead. Big things. And I would agree. Sonya Deville was kept away from ringside. So she did have to do this all by herself. And the last one I would agree with as well. I don't know why people are hating the fact that at WWE_MandyRose won. It was an upset victory. Plus, she was great in the match, and there was no botches. I didn't see any botches either. I thought she played it perfectly, and I was really impressed with it. Now, I did put one thing at the end. I said, but Mason, what did you think of her music? It probably fits in with your whole opinion of SmackDown as a whole, right?
All right, dead air time. You actually put that
on your tweet? No, I didn't put that. No, I put that as something to ask you after reading all the tweets, because I wanted you to talk about it.
It sounded like somebody from the jungle coming out.
It wasn't inspiring. It wasn't excitable. It wasn't catchy.
It looked like Lana doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that music either. I thought that was a very strange one. I didn't mind the fire in the background. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, she looked like Lana coming out with Rusev.
Yeah, it was a similar type of thing. I can see that. All right, so you only came up with two. Let's see what the actual 10 were. Number 10, Jeff Hardy takes out The Miz ringside. There was a few moments from that match. Number 9, pancakes in a bag of the bar. So the New Day filled the bar's gym bags up with pancakes. All right. Number 8, Mandy Rose rolls up Becky Lynch. So I had the 8th moment. Number 7, Nakamura interview and AJ interview. Number 6, Jeff does a sunset flip, and he kicks out at 2 from Miz, so another moment from that one. Number 5, suicide dive by Daniel Bryan on Rusev, but Rusev catches him and throws him over the announcer's desk. Number 4, Peyton Royce taps to Charlotte Flair's leg lock. Number 3, New Day throwing pancakes at Sheamus, and then there's the uppercut that we talked about. Kicks from Rusev on Daniel Bryan, and a pin to advance to Money in the Bank. And number 1 moment, and we both had this one then, so, well, I had it as number 2. The third twist of fate, I said third Swanton, third twist of fate, followed by a Swanton, and then a 2 count on Miz, and then he reversed into a 3 count on Jeff Hardy. Now, we also found out some other things as well on SmackDown this week. One of them is that, well, they're going to London next week. I think we talked about them going to England. Yeah. So Carmella's going to have a Royal Melibration in London next week, so we'll get to see that.
With the Parliament?
I don't know how they're going to do it, or whether it's going to. I think it's more towards the Queen when they're talking about Royal. I like that Melibration now. I think that's good. Next week, we've also got to look forward to Sienna Elmas is going to debut as well.
Oh.
So that's kind of something to look forward to. Seems we didn't. Seems you in particular didn't have a good week. Then hopefully we got something a little bit better. And in the seventh and final match, podcast of the week. So as you're coming to a close on this podcast, we've got other things to recommend for you to listen to if you're not sure what to listen to. So my pick this week is the Got Till 5 podcast, and you can listen to them. You can find them on Twitter at Got Till 5. That's GOTTILLFIVE. See, I spelled it out, Mason, because I know you like it when Kelsey does that, so you can find it exactly. This is a bi-weekly wrestling podcast where your two hosts, Max Curtin and Jesse Benz, discuss their top fives on various wrestling subjects available on iTunes. And that little quote I read you is straight from their page. Now, they've actually released 25 episodes. I got 14 left. And seeing as it's the top five, I actually listened to 5 episodes this week. I actually listened to Canadian wrestlers versus British wrestlers, wrestling managers, underutilized WCW wrestlers, wrestlers who could excel in other promotions, and retired wrestlers versus current wrestlers. Now, I don't think I put this one on your podcast, because I think there's some language in this one. But basically, they pick a topic, and then they pick their top five things. So like we do Raw, and we pick our top three moments, they pick a topic, and they do their top fives, and then they compare each other's, and then they talk about it. Really simple format, really effective. I think from the earlier episodes, they actually get people to choose what they're going to pick as their topic as well, which is kind of cool. I've been listening all over the place because I'm listening to the current episodes and I'll go back to the early episodes and I'll go back and forth. So I'm listening to them a little out of sequence. So, for example, the one on wrestling managers, spoiler alert, they both picked Bobby the Brain Heenan, and they said that was the clear winner for things like that. But yeah, they talked through it. I really like it. They're definitely knowledgeable guys. It's an interesting format. They definitely make it exciting, and they have that variety of topics as well. WCW, I actually kind of like those ones. I don't know those ones as much, and I think for that reason, I actually like to listen to those a little bit more as well. All right, so go check those guys out, the Got Till 5 podcast at Got Till 5. And Mason, I think that you have a podcast that you wanted to recommend this week, right? I think you might be a little biased on this one, but go ahead.
I want to recommend the Mad Attack because I was actually on it for the first time. I was on the Mad Attack. Oh, I was on any episode without you, and it was definitely weird, but I got through it.
It was. This is episode 3. If you want to find it, it's on YouTube. If you go to Matt Attack Podcast, and then you can find it. There's a lot of Matt Attacks. If you go to YouTube, I couldn't even find him. But if you put Matt Attack Podcast, then you can definitely find him. So I'm trying to think. I believe this was his third episode.
Yes.
The first episode, I did WrestleMania predictions with him. Two, I forget the guy's name, and I feel really bad about him. Jimmy, thank you. He has an extra name at the end. But yes, Jimmy did number 2, which was the Greatest Royal Rumble. And then you, for third one, you did the Backlash predictions. Now, I know that you beat me and Matt on the WrestleMania predictions. Yep. We didn't really do the Greatest Royal Rumble ones. We sort of casually talked about it. So tell us, how did you do on your Backlash predictions?
I got 8 right, and Matt got 5 right.
He did, and he did. He was very gracious about this, and he said that we could definitely mention this on the podcast, that you did win. And yeah, I think you got him a little nervous now. I'm not sure you're going to get invited back. I don't know if he's beat any of his competitors so far, because I think I edged him slightly on WrestleMania. And I think, I'm not sure how he did against Jimmy, because I don't think he announces it on the next podcast. Hey, Matt, you trying to hide something? I know he does his predictions, but I don't think he ever talks about the results on the next one. So, now, interestingly, and I think I did tell you about this, and I wish I could remember the person that posted this. They're going to put like a March Madness-style tournament together. So there was a few people tagged. There was about 10 people tagged on Twitter to begin with. And it said, look, this is open to anybody. So I've signed you up. You're going to do a predictions tournament, and then they're going to try and put it. I said, it's going to be so funny. I want to see the look on you guys' faces when you lose to a 10-year-old. So I decided to pick the strongest member of the MGB Wrestling Podcast. So, yeah, I don't know when it starts. I don't know how it's going to work exactly, but I think that's going to be fun. Matt, I think Matt, I'm trying to find, remember what Matt said already. He's like, I think he's worried to face you. I think he's hoping he's in the opposite side of the bracket to you, so he doesn't have to face
that
you as well.
That would be funny if I had to face him in the first round.
And I actually mentioned as well, I said I'd like to face the Two-Faced Pod, actually, because we're both PG. I said the Battle of the PG material. So I think that would be flipping amazing if we could meet each other in one of our matches. So that's something to look forward to in the future, and then we'll see how that goes as well. Now, actually, this weekend, we've got some wrestling going on as well. So we've actually got a few things that happening. So we're also going to have our special episode. We're going to do our review of the Nova Pro event, Thread of Joy. This actually comes out, this is coming out on Friday, which is the day Thread of Joy is going to happen. If you're in the Nova Pro area, certainly, it's at the Annandale Volunteer Fire Department on Columbia Pike. This one opens at 6:30 and bell time 7, and the reason is it's going to be on Powerbomb TV. So they'll show the first hour on Powerbomb, and then they'll show the actual one. So we actually get an hour's bonus material for this one, Mason. And we have front row seats as well. So that's going to be pretty good. Some new names who are going to be there. Ricky Shane Page is going to be there.
Yeah, he was on the 20,000 Thumbtacks.
Mm-hmm, he was, yes. And Blade Job Show recommended them as well. And we did actually see part of that match as well. Jonathan Gresham is going to be in that match. And yeah. Logan Easton LaRoe. I'm trying to remember who other new people are going to be there. There was one more.
Skylar.
Actually, I think I got one of the people mixed up. Ricky Shane Page, I'm sorry, is facing Tim Doxt. The person who's facing Jonathan Gresham is Hot Sauce Williams,
yeah.
Who we saw at AIG. Is it AIG? AIW. I'm getting those mixed up a little bit. So that's something that we're going to be doing. So I'm not sure when we're actually going to record that episode. Normally, we would probably record it Saturday night. But Daddy has something going on Saturday night.
Okay.
So this was my birthday present to myself. So I'm going to want to talk about this on the next episode as well. And I'm reading straight from the promo. After a long hiatus, Mick Foley's one-man show returns in 2018 for the 20th anniversary of the legendary Hell in a Cell match with The Undertaker. The WWE Hall of Famer and hardcore legend will take audiences on a thrilling and surreal in-depth experience, reliving one of the most infamous nights in wrestling history. Each show on the 20 Years of Hell tour also includes a live question and answer session with Mick. I guess I didn't need to worry about saying that H word earlier. Oh, well. Tickets for all 20 tour dates in the US and Canada are on sale now. There's only 20 tour dates because it's the 20th anniversary. So that's kind of cool. Now, I got the VIP ticket months ago. It's not appropriate for you, though. So I get to go. So I have to go at 6. I don't think it opens until 8. So I know I'm going to get meet Mick. I know I'm going to get an autograph. I know I'm going to get a picture with him. And he's actually going to have the cage there as well. And that was the big thing for
the
me.
Actual
this thing? Is the It says it's going to have it as a backdrop now. I assume it's going to be the whole thing, but we'll see. It's quite tall, that location where it's at, so they could probably do that. So we're going to have to see how that works out exactly. But it's the only one on the 20 dates where they're actually having the cage there as well, which for me made it more cool. At Joppa, Maryland, which is close to Baltimore. So I'm really excited by that. That's the coolest present I got. That's where MCW fights. I think that was a really cool birthday present to buy for myself. But yeah, hopefully I'll come back and do the 25th anniversary, Mason, and then you might be old enough to come and see that one. Because, I don't know what questions they're going to ask exactly. But, yeah, it was a little pricey, this one, but I thought it was worth it for my birthday. Now, I'm not sure, but I believe for episode 13, we might be having a guest reviewer with us. I meant to check on Twitter ahead of time to see if that person is available, and I didn't actually quite get a chance to do that. So we might have a special guest reviewing with you next week instead of me, but we'll have to see how that goes.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompitech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.